This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ladies, exciting stuff. Feels a little different around here. And we got a few men in the gym finally.
Woo! Hubba hubba.
All right, don't distract them. They have work to do.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. The gorgeous ladies of wrestling are back on Netflix for a second season. Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin, Marc Maron and their ensemble cast are all back for yet another round in the ring. And man... can I tell you how much I love this show? No, I do, man. It picks up. The pilot's over.
And it was a success.
It was a success, and now they need to shoot a season.
Yeah.
And it is such addictive storytelling. I am so invested in these characters. And also, there's all of this great messaging going on, mm-hmm. but it's a part of the story. It's yeah. not in your face. I mean, there's immigration issues, minority representation issues, sexual harassment issues, workplace romance issues. All this stuff is happening. All this stuff we talk about on Twitter, on Facebook, op-eds, all year long, and yet they've pulled it off in this television series in such an astute and subtle manner. I was floored.
Yeah, don't you remember we sorted all this out in the 80s?
Oh, we didn't sort it out in the 80s, yeah. rather enough.
I love the show.
I found it a little hard going at first because, I mean, this is the other thing. Netflix are speeding up. It's not even, is it a year? It's less, right?
It's less than a year.
Yeah. It's less than a year since we got Queer Eye Season 2. It's way less than that time. But this felt like, hang on, it's long enough ago that I remember what happened in the finale. And they remind you bits and pieces of it, but not too ham-handedly. Then I'm like, Marc Maron's great, but his character is an ass.
Oh, his character
And straight away,
awful.
He's an ass. And I'm like, and then I'm feeling cringy for Ruth, and then I'm remembering, wait, Alice, I was cringing on her behalf the whole last time as well, but not so bad as The Office or something like that.
Yeah.
Her antics are like, yes, this is the Amdam theater thing. That's the point.
Yeah.
I just need to get over it.
It's the she's trying really hard to
too
be
hard,
liked right
so
now.
Hard, too hard.
Calm
Stop
down.
Trying
just
so
calm
hard.
Down. Right?
Everyone
she's,
else is
hey, she's
in.
Happy. She's yeah. having fun. Yeah. It's the best job she's ever had. And you know what's the best part when she says that line? She's not lying.
Yeah. Everyone else around her goes, she's crazy, but she's not lying.
No.
Yeah. But I felt originally it seems like the relationship between her and Marc Maron takes a step back, which I felt like a very second season thing to do. It's like we made this progress so far with the first season and now we're stepping it back. But as going through it, the relationship with his daughter and some of the other characters, you get to see, no, he's still the same ass with most other people. It's just Ruth's overstepped.
I thought the season started a little sort of, slow is not really the word, but it didn't start as well as I'd like. Mm. I was actually at one point considering maybe I'll just jump out of this, but then it's half hours, it's easy to digest.
Yeah, half hour Netflix. These are great.
Half hour, 10 episodes, great.
Yes.
Yeah. But then I got to a point in the season where it just sort of picked up.
Episode 5 and 6, right?
Yeah, it just really...
Not 3 and 4, not the usual Netflix 3 and 4. 5 and 6,
something
happened.
Well,
5 and 6 would be where 3 and 4 is in an hour long.
Netflix, we got your number.
The Netflix algorithm always works.
But 5 and 6 is where something happens. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because for me, that was a turning point as well. I was into it from the get-go because I think I have always kind of rooted for these characters. Ever since... the midpoint of season one, I was like, oh, I like all of you.
Yeah.
You're all crazy in your own way, but I want you to succeed.
But for me, the second season felt like, it felt like that problem of, the first season, they just wanted to get the TV show. We must get a TV show. And then when the first couple of episodes in that season, in season two came around, it was like, okay, we've got the TV show. As a storytelling, it just felt like they didn't know where else to go until... 5 and 6 came out.
But I think already when they start, it's like he's like directing via absenteeism kind of thing. It's like, well, we're just going to shoot some fights and we'll pick what goes. It's like, you have no clue what you're doing.
Yeah, he's really phoning it in. Yeah. We'll just shoot. The episodes are too long. We'll just fight.
Three
five
fights
of
now.
You just fight. Yeah, and then we'll just
pick the best
three. And you'll
audition for those. You'll have a fight off. It's like, you don't know what you're doing. Shouldn't you script some of these in advance? Like, you're the director. Hire a writer. They don't have any writers on Snap.
Nope.
I did like, would they do some writing at one point and they blow on the typewriter. It's like, you know, to get all the coke off.
Yeah. The soundtrack to this is really good. Yeah. They've gone even more 80s.
Yeah.
It's got some great tunes in it. And I was saying before, episode 5 and 6, there's a turn that happens, right? And what was interesting about that turn for me is you need to pick a side at that point. And you don't know who's right or who's wrong. You want to support everybody.
Okay.
And
so
that's
does
what's
it don't
so
show
interesting.
You the event itself? I've heard what it is. So
oh, you have? Okay, so you see it. You're always rooting for these characters. And because you like them all, you need to pick a side. So then it moves. I won't spoil anything, but then it moves. It's really good. It's very, very cunning writing. And I think Carly mentioned Liz Flav. I think that's how you pronounce her name. It feels like they've been given free rein to try and craft these stories based on these incredibly zany characters. And they've done an incredibly good job in actually fleshing these people out from season to season, from episode to episode.
Because I think the first season they kind of had, like, per episode they'd pick like two characters and fill them in while the story of
that's
Ruth
right,
and
yes.
Betty Gilpin was continuing.
So they don't do that as much now. I mean, you have a few new characters.
But like after a few episodes, Cherry pops. Because like, first of all, you think Cherry's not there. It's like, oh, did the actress who plays her in this Netflix show get a job somewhere else?
Yes.
And then you actually see the episode where she's appearing on another TV show in the universe of Glow, which
that's
is
right.
great.
That's right. And I think they work so much better as an ensemble now.
Mm.
So they're in more scenes together. And also they've discovered each other. So now they're working off each other
plus
in really cool ways. Yeah, and they know what the show is, right? There's a great scene right from the opening episode when they're trying to take a photo.
Mm. And it's just like a single person photo, and then everyone gets in.
And everyone gets in. One of them just goes, will you hurry it up, man? It's just a photo. And she's like, no, it's not. It's history.
And then to find out there's no film in the camera.
There's no film in the camera.
After she's gotten on the roof. After the wolf girl's gotten on the roof.
It's incredibly well written. It's incredibly funny. It's very astute. It tackles 2018 issues in a way that is smart and not at all preachy.
It's a filter of distance. My girlfriend was watching this. She's like, how do they make it look so old? It's like, what, like the Burger King logo in the background? No, the video effects were that effect is really, really cool. But also, I was more, but look at that Burger King logo in the background. That's the old one that they had back then.
Yeah,
like everything,
yeah.
The set design and everything. And I love the fact that they call it the Glotel.
That's right.
That was just like, I paused that. I was like, chef's kiss. That's perfect. Come around, we're having a party at the Glotel tonight.
Aren't you excited?
My costume still smells like beer and racism.
Was I supposed to wash these?
Do you have a good break?
Yeah. She's getting divorced.
It's complicated.
Usually you do a lot better job of keeping your weird friendship stuff out of the ring.
Just hope she can keep up.
You're on that show, right? Glow. Welfare queen.
What'd you call my mom?
It's a wrestling show. I'm not the only offensive character. Everyone's offensive.
We have fans. I mean, the girls get letters. There's weirdos waiting outside for them.
Wait.
You're my favorite.
I can see that.
The other thing that works really well with a 30-minute series is that it feels like there's no bloat.
Yes.
Mm.
I know you had issues with bloat with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Because it was 13 episodes and an hour long, and you were like, they could have done it in 8.
Yeah, and some of these shows that come on Netflix, you know, like when they know from the beginning the design for Netflix, they tend to be a little bit like overindulgent.
Yes, indulgence the word, yeah.
Whereas this feels like, no, we're going to... I don't know why this is doing this 30 minutes. There's not very many that are 30 minutes.
I think...
It's not for syndication, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know. I think this show fits the 30 minute. I think if it was an hour long, I'd be really annoyed.
Oh, yeah, no, and I think more Netflix shows should maybe go that way and do 45 to 50s.
Yeah, like, maybe... unless they feel that this is a bit more comedy-esque, so they fit into the sort of sitcom time slot type thing.
They've already built their sets. They're good to go.
Yeah, I guess.
We say that, though. I mean, we say comedy-esque, but there's so much more than just calling this a comedy, though.
Mm.
Yes.
There's a lot happening, and I think putting that label, kind of shoehorning it into that genre might be a mistake.
I still like Marc Maron in this, and like I can't stand his podcast anymore. I can't listen to it anymore because he just talks for 15 minutes at the beginning without getting anywhere. And
right.
I think I would like to see him in more things.
He needs
from
to be
Glow.
His podcast needs to be scripted.
And he's very good in this. Like, he just, every time he's on screen, it's like, that's him. Yeah, it's just like that, he's that guy. He seems to be that guy because I know he used to be that guy.
Right. You want to hate him, but you can't.
Yes,
can you,
he does
right?
that. He runs that line very well.
Yeah, it's just like he plays between that uncle that you hate and you tolerate, but this and the uncle that you that's just grumpy but you love. I hate that.
And
I don't know where to fall on him.
For the rest of the season, do they continue to team him up nicely with the idiot Chris Lowell?
Yes.
Character, because his character, like, there's moments of them talking, like, there's a producer's meeting that Betty misses, and she's like, was a producer, we just drank bourbon or something like that and went to a strip club. That's all they did. Like, that wasn't a producer's meeting. That's just a meeting.
And when you first see him, it's hilarious because he goes, all right, we're here for a prep meeting.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, dressed like a prep school boy. Yes. And he just goes, oh, you mean preparation?
Yeah, he's a genius.
It is fantastic. And even at the end of that episode, you know, Betty Gilpin's character decides that she wants a bigger role to play. And so she gets her contract renegotiated, right?
Yeah.
And
well, she gets her contract negotiated.
Negotiated. Renegotiated. And there's this fantastic scene, which just kind of shows off how amazing Alison Brie is, where she discovers that Betty Gilpin's character becomes a producer, right? She gets much higher billing and she kind of closes the door on her and she turns around and she's really upset and then the set lights up because they finished building the set and her face just transforms from upset to awe. And it was such a great scene at the end of the first episode. I was like, you are so good.
Yeah, Alison Brie's great in this and they do a good job as well of like, even though they have them walking around in like meters of face paint at times, but they always like, they fair dues to her. They make her look like really haggard and lost an awful lot of the time. She just looks like a poor, lost... Yeah, pale.
And pale.
Looks like a lost sheep or a lost lamb at times. You really feel her vulnerability throughout it. But then she puts on the Russian gear and the hairspray.
And she just snaps it on, right? Yeah. Her character just snaps on. There are a couple of times where she literally is just talking to Mark Maron in, you know, Zoya the Destroyer's costume. And then she'll just turn and the accent will come up.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And it's her. She's the source of a lot of the cringe.
Yes.
A lot of the cringe.
A lot of the cringe.
Have some vodka. It is not sentimental present. It's great.
Oh.
It's great. Go check out Glow Season 2. It's now streaming on Netflix. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahe White.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.